I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day
speaks about all these things
we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we never have, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living
in the day he speaks about.
All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we now are having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
A soldier of the cross,
a follower of the Lamb, and shall appear to all his cause, or blush to speak his name. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And the new Jerusalem, wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Then the new Jerusalem must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fly to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown.
wish, a wish, wish to wear a crown.
And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown and a new Jerusalem.
Wear a crown,
wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown and a new Jerusalem. Are there no hope for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is there no one, a friend to grace, to help me on to God? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And a new Jerusalem.
Wear a crown.
Wear a crown. Wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown and a new Jerusalem. Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, and a new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown and a new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease, while others fall to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown and a new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown and a new Jerusalem. Until then, you're just going to have to accept what people do to us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You'll just have to be shunned. You won't get no red carpet treatment, that's for sure, because that's not the way it works. We're just going to have to take what's coming to us, because they'll never accept what we have to say,
mm-hmm.
The majority of the people. And it's just that simple. That's why we have to not look for a crown on this side of glory.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to come. That's why if we know what's going on, it's a lot easier to accept. But if you don't know where you are, you know, if you don't know what's going on, why are they persecuting us? Why are they shunning us? Why are they doing everything they can to us? Why do we have to be on guard? Well, it's just the way it works for now.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's over. Just that simple. It's not over yet. We still got a few miles to go. We've come through many come to many a battle, eh?
Mm-hmm.
When you look back, and now I'm standing on the mountain looking back, I can see how his strong hand has been leading us, you know. It doesn't matter what people say to or take. We're doing our job. We've just been honed out to do something that nobody else can do, nobody else wants to do. And we got a tough road to hoe. But in the meantime, we got it good on the other side, under the Lord's, we're under the Lord's protection. But, there'll be a payday at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine road I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Down here my steps grow weary, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes I feel I'm all alone, but I still carry on. There's a brighter day a-coming, and it thrills my heart to know there'll be a payday at the end of the road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine road I'll find my payday at the end of the road. Some folks are planning futures as they search for earthly gain. They're busy building hopes and dreams, but it all will be in vain. But I'm laying out my treasure, and I'm working my way home, where there's a payday at the end of the road. There'll be a payday at the end of life's road when I stroll down the streets of pure gold. I'll have a crown to wear beyond compare, but on an all-fine robe I'll find my payday at the end of the road. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Heavenly Father, we just want to stop for a moment in time just to give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, for this lowly home here at the end of the street, Lord, for giving us a house and a home, all these things you do for us, Lord, and you give us a vehicle, Lord, and you give us our commission, all these things you've done for us, Lord, so that we can fulfill our calling and just to continue on with the program that you have for us. You've finally given us our calling in life, but what you've called us out to do, Lord. We just ask for to be faithful and just to continue to crucify the flesh and to do what's needful in the hour and time we're living in, Lord. Most of all, we're grateful, Lord, that we finally know our calling in life, Lord, and we just pray for grace that we'll be able to fulfill it and to be faithful and true until the end, Lord. We just pray we'll continue to do it as you see fit, Lord. Just use us for your glory, and we know if you use us, Lord, there's no room for the natural man, for the flesh, Lord. So we just pray you'll give us grace to be able to accept the things that you have for us, to accept the journey that you put us on, and do it with praising you, Lord, with grateful hearts, Lord. And there's nothing worse to go through life and not know what your calling is, Lord. So we just pray you continue to do it as you see fit, Lord. I just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Oh, there's a lot of going on in the world about us. We have to recognize we're fighting a war on all fronts. You know, we listed the service yesterday about Charlie Kirk and the memorial service. It was very well put together. And what they have to go through in life and the effort to put in to do whatever needs to be done, like Charlie, right? One day he just stopped and he said, "Lord, send me." And he said it from his heart. And the Lord heard him, and the Lord put him on this job that he had for him. And he went out there to debate with these people. And when you look at his old life, he did a very good job. He was truly found faithful and true to what God had called him to do. Because if he told the Lord, "Lord, send me where?" He knew exactly. Back in the day, he come from the gutters of Chicago, and he saw what Obama was doing to the country, how he was leading it out to hell and death and to destruction, and then he realized he's going to have to do something because he couldn't see nobody that's going to do something. And he just took it upon himself, and he went before the Lord, and he said, "Lord, send me." And then the Lord heard him, like I say, and then he used him. And then he went into these universities, and into these colleges, wherever he could go. He just put in a lot of effort to do what God wanted him to do. And sometimes when I think the effort he put in and energy that he did. But see, we're on a different chapter. He was doing what he was doing. He was preparing the people for millennium. Up the road, there's a millennium coming. And without him, if it wasn't for him, the whole country would go to the dogs. But he completely went out, and he got Trump elected, and then he helped him put together his administration. And if you were looking, if you were watching the thing yesterday, it was very I don't know if it was inspiring or not, but we could look at it from where you and I are at, and we can see exactly what God is doing, because at the end of the day, there's going to be a separating of the goats and the sheep. That's where it's all heading to, just 3 years from now. See, you and I are of a different species. We're of a different chapter. We're not in that chapter that they're in, but we sure prodding them on. We're just cheering them on. Because I have to say, God is doing it. God behind it is the Spirit of the living God, because he has decided to fulfill George Washington's vision. And most of all, God is doing, he's just fulfilling Scripture. He's preparing this country here, and it's up the road. Just 3 years from now, there will actually be a time frame when Jesus will sit down and he's going to separate these haters and these vile people and these thugs, and he's going to separate them, and he's going to send them out to that lake of fire. And now you're on the other side. The people that were cheering on what was going on yesterday, they're going to just say, hear what Jesus will say to them. "Come and inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you before the foundation of the world," and to that millennial reign. And we got the whole counsel of God. You see, you and I, we see the whole picture, and we can more or less just sit back and watch it happen. But we also have a job to do. We have to expose the unfruitful works of darkness on a 24/7. It's a 24/7 job. It's not an easy job when you tell people what's actually been going on, and these Hutterite systems and these religious systems, they're all coming down because of the day and hour you were living. 100 years ago, we couldn't have this conversation. But we know where we are in time because the Lord gave us the midnight cry. So we have a few. We have to fight on 3 fronts. We have to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We have to expose that religious thing. And then we have to tell people where we are in time. And it's a hard sell because people are so accustomed, and the God of this world has blinded their mind and their hearts that the glory of the light of the gospel cannot come true, the truth. They cannot accept the truth. And then on top of it, the inhabitants of the earth have become drunk with the wine of the spiritual fornication, mm-hmm. that religious system out there where Satan has infiltrated every aspect of society. So we and the thing of it is, we got to stay the course. We just got to stick to our gun. We know what the Lord has called us out to do. We're exposing that yesterday. We were exposing that a few days ago. We were exposing these tugs up in Cloverdale Bible, that the Brenham movement, you know. It back in the days of Brother Brenham, it had served its purpose. Mm-hmm. It was the thing to do. It was the place to go. But then God was shifting gears. He was taking the human race up a notch. And he sent them, when he was done with Brother Branham, and he had a tremendous ministry, he had a tremendous calling, he was actually fulfilling scripture where the Bible talks about, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto a man that cast a net. He cast a net around the whole world. He was very well known around the world. And what he was doing, he was bringing in believers, and he was bringing in make-believers, and he was bringing in unbelievers, all in that net. And then he pulled that net to shore, and then he started separating them. And what he did, he cast some back in the sea, and he cast some back on shore, and then he pushed some into another vessel. Mm-hmm. It's all fulfilling scripture, and you and I, we just happened to tap in what God was doing through the ministry of Brother Branham and through the ministry of Brother Jackson. When Brother Branham went off the scene in 1964, then he was shifting gears, and now it evolves into that scribe. And that's exactly what Brother Jackson did. He was that scribe that took out of the storehouse old things and new. All things, he went back and he revealed to us what happened in prior times, what happened back in the prehistoric age, just like it says back in Ecclesiastes, is there nothing new under the sun? Everything that's going on now happened before our time in a different civilization. And all what Brother Jackson did, he had 7 things that he had to bring out, and one of them was the testing and fall of Satan. When he went back, and that's what a scribe does. He takes out of the storehouse, out of history, old things and new, and he went right back into the prehistoric age, and he allowed us to see what's going on, what went on back there. Then the testing and fall of man, and then he gave us the revelation of that the woman of mystery, all these things, and he gave us the revelation of the tree of life, what happened, what the tree of life was. The tree of life, we kept seeing over and over again, was absolutely simple sex for reproduction purposes only. And then, like we keep saying, yeah, Adam and Eve were given a commission, be fruitful and multiply, but only use the law of the tree of life. Do not partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We said it over and over again, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if I had to put it in today's language, just the clarity, do not use sex for pleasure. Do not use that reproductive program for pleasure. Just use it for, get out of the tree of life. Don't take out or partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's a very simple, but Satan somehow has confused the whole picture that he wants to tell society that it was an apple. No, it was a commission. They were fulfilling the commission, but there's 2 laws. That's their test. And they fail the test, and then they brought the whole human race into the chaos. And all we're trying to do, we're just trying to expose it and try to yank people back in reality. What has happened? Because that's why the Lord gave us the full counsel of God. Mm-hmm. You can go back into Ephesians chapter 1, and we can go back. You and I, we can actually go back with God, with that great eternal spirit. When he sat down, it's, you can imagine, we go back there and we sat down with him. And as he was making that big blueprint, we can sit there and we can see exactly what happened. He just sat down and he counseled with himself, and he just began to make that blueprint. And he counseled for a long time. I don't know how long, but when he was done, there was the Bible. It's all in the Bible. The Bible was written back in that council. The Bible was written before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And it's just so simple from where you and I are sitting at. We're not confused what's going on out there with the Charlie Kirk episode and with all these things and with the Brother Branham episode. What happened when Brother Branham went off the scene? How these people, they went every which way, because we have the dream that Brother Jackson had. He told the Brother, they'll go, what Brother Branham told Brother Jackson when he told him about the dream, he said, Junior, they'll go every direction from here to Sunday. And that's exactly what happened. When the Lord took Brother Branham off the scene, there they go. There goes the Bissell system. There goes the Hildebrand system. There they go. Everybody goes to do their own thing. And then everybody wants to be the successor to Brother Branham. But there was only one successor to Brother Branham, and that's the man of the vocal cords of Raymond M. Jackson, and people could not accept it. And what they did, that the Lord just let them go out to do your own thing, and everything is fed by his spirit. And all of a sudden, that spirit of that bruised serpent took him over. Now, you no matter where you go to any of these Brother Branham churches, what they'll do, we got church order. You're not supposed to even whisper. And the congregation, when you come to church, you're not supposed to talk to one another. You just walk silently in and take your place in your pew and don't talk to nobody. That's church order. But see, Brother Jackson didn't put that in, so that caused a division between the Brother Jackson, between the Branhamites, what you would call. But see, the Lord just moved on with the Brother Jackson. If they can't accept it, well, I'll give you something to accept. And give him that bruised serpent, because it was driven by a spirit. There's always a spirit that feeds people. And to this day, they're out there being fed by that spirit of that bruised serpent. You got to go back and listen to the message of bruised serpent that Brother Jack, Brother Branham had. And you see the crystal clear picture of what's going on out there. And like I said the other day, if there was a vote given, if we had a vote, like, you know, sometimes you vote for president and things like that, but if their vote would have been given amongst the message people, or Branhamite, they would have voted in Eddie Bissell by a long shot, by a big margin, because he's well known, he's a man of renown, known all over the world, like we said in the other message we had, and we're just, what we're doing, we're exposing that Branham movement. I wondered all my life, I wondered, Lord, what are you going to do with those people? They're good people, they're serious people, but they're totally deceived by that Eddie Bissell system. But what he was doing, behind it was the spirit of Satan that was driving it. And if I tell that to people, they think I'm blaspheming, because he was such a man that would do everything he could to put Brother Branham out on the top. But he was doing it for the wrong motive. But he was doing, he knew very well that Brother Jackson is that man that God used to carry on with the message. But see what he did? He went in there and he robbed these people, took them out from under Brother Jackson's watch and just stole them. And then he blinded them that you don't even as much as go near the ministry of Brother Jackson, because we talked to the Led through, and he said it was a no-no to listen to Brother Jackson. And I went up there and talked to that John Stahl, and I put, like I said the other day, I put a chart on the pegboard in the church, And that John Stahl came to me. Did you put that chart on the church? I said, yeah. Well, don't you ever do that again. He took that chart off because it was forbidden. It was on, it was territory that you better dare not go near, the territory of that scribe, of that Brother Jackson. And he absolutely closed the door, and Brother Eddie Biskell, if I could call him a brother, really I shouldn't, I can just call him Eddie Biskell, he was the one that kept the people from entering in and listening to what that scribe had to do, had to say. And to this day, the minute I go up there, we're shunned, you know. We're just, it's a closed door. It's a closed avenue. And the culprit behind all that is Eddie Biskell. He was using that thing to keep people away from the very gold mine that you and I have enjoyed for the last 10, 15, 20 years.
All you need to do is know the plan of God. And then you can understand what God is doing for the day and hour. And it's very simple. Like, you go back to creation. God had a plan. He didn't just create something and then let it play out. He had a plan, and he knew the beginning from the end. He knew it all, what's going to transpire, and that there is an enemy out there, and there's going to be a way that God has for people to escape all the things of the enemy. And when the old covenant was over, the grace set in, the grace age set in, God had a plan to bring out of the Gentiles a people. And that's really what the grace age was about, is to bring out a people from the Gentile to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. And you can see how from the beginning of the church age with Paul and the Apostle Paul, there was always the enemy present, and he was always combating the enemy. And that's all throughout the grace age what you see. But when Martin Luther came on the scene, there was something different starting to transpire. It was all about restoring everything back to the faith of the early church. Mm-hmm. And God had Brother Branham here at the end time, a prophet to this age, to do that. But after he passed away, even though the Branhamites, they claimed that when the last church age message of Brother Branham, that's when everything stopped. That's the end of God using any vessel for the grace age. And that's what they use. And that's the excuse that they will bring up when you will say God continued on with Brother Jackson. And when we were listening to that message yesterday, we had on about the absolute truth about Cloverdale Bible Way. And something you read there reminded me of that Eddie Biskell. It says here in Job 42:2, they steal livestock and put them in their own pastures. The pasture flocks they have stolen.
See?
And that's really what these people have done. They have stolen those flocks from what the real pastor was, and that was Brother Jackson. He was that continuation. And when they didn't lead them to that that field of Brother Jackson, they actually stole those sheep and they flocked them, and they weren't even theirs to flock because they weren't telling them the righteousness for their day and hour. And that's what really happened with all the Biskell system, with these entities out there that did not lead people in the direction of Brother Jackson. They actually stole those people and claimed them as their own just to build themselves an empire.
And that's what's going on wholesale. That's going on down at Grunthal with that Danny Fair. They're all in the same packet, and they're all in the same package because God has a program. When he sat back down and he sat down with that council back there, like I say, it's almost like we're sitting there with him. making that count, or just watching it make that count. And what we're all we're doing now, we're reading to the human race that counsel that he had with himself. And there came a day in 1965 when that, according to that blueprint that he made, that Brother Branham ceases to exist. He went and he died, and that angel could no longer use his vocal cord, but God, that angel didn't stop. He took the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jex. And all these people that didn't move on in that direction, and that heavenly chapter, it's a heavenly chapter, it's a heavenly program, and if you did not move on with that heavenly chapter, what Brother Jackson is doing, what you did, you stole all these sheep, all these people that were supposed to come and go under the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson, and they stole them out, exactly what Job said. There, they steal the widow's ox, they steal these sheep, they steal the people, and they got nothing for them. Mm-hmm. All they do, brought a bread. All they're doing, they're feeding off that bruised serpent. And I went through all that thing. The Lord took me through that. He was taking me through so he can learn me something, so he can teach me something. So now here in these closing days, that we can put it out there and we can expose it for what it is. Mm-hmm. I could never do that 20, 30 years ago. But as the Lord was schooling you and I, what's going on, now we can put it out there and we can, in broad daylight, tell you what that biscuit is all about. He stole all these people from Raymond M. Jackson, that God put all that, let's move on. The Lord was taking him up to a different level, up to a different chapter, and he was exposing and opening up the avenue, what happened back in the prehistoric world. And God had for the people, for the human, he had something a lot more than Brother Branham could bring, because Brother Branham could only take them so far. Then the Lord took him off the scene, and then Brother Jackson took over and take the body of Christ up a notch or two. Mm-hmm. And he was there for 40 years preaching his heart out. And see, you and I, we have the full counsel of God. We'll be qualified on up to tell people what really happened. Mm-hmm. They can take it or they can leave it. They don't believe it, but it's still out there. We're still telling them the truth. That's why we fight against two or three different fronts. It's like just like Israel. He fought his war back there on seven fronts. Mm-hmm. And here we're fighting a spiritual war on telling people where we are at the time. We're exactly 100% accurate, because what we did, when we heard about Brother Branham, we embraced it with a passion. And then we heard about Brother Jackson, we embraced that with a passion. And everything that we know, we got from these two great men. And we're just holding on to the fort. Like I say, we're fighting the war on three fronts. We're fighting it to expose that the unfruitful works of darkness, because that's the commission that the Lord gave us to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's that religious system out there. Mm-hmm. And then he gave us to hold on to the truth that we've been told. We're holding on to the truth that was being given to Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. All we're doing, we're telling people the truth.
Yeah, because when you will look at the life of Moses, he brought the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egyptian bondage. And this is what Brother Branham did. He brought us out of religious bondage.
Yeah.
If people would only follow the Spirit of God, that's really what happened. He brought all the people out from their denominational places. But people, like, they wanted to go back to Egypt, a lot of these Israelites. It's the same way with Gentile people. They wanted to go back to their denominational places, and that's where most of them ended up. And but Brother Branham could only take the church so far, and then Brother Jackson took it on. Just like Moses, he could only take the children of Israel out of bondage, and then Joshua continued with the work. It's not that complicated to know that God used Brother Jackson. When you will listen with your spiritual ears, you will find it to be the truth, that that's what God continues using. But we also know where we are at in time, what God is doing with America. Now, it's a totally different chapter that's starting to roll in here, because we know where we are at in time. We are in the week of Daniel, and it's all preparing for the millennium now, for that millennium reign. And those people, and a lot of these people that were there, they are going to go on in as mortals, because it's all about serving God, doing what's right, raising a family, and serving God and country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the hidden message that you will receive. It's in there. It's no longer the grace age.
Mm-hmm.
And you will hear there's a different turn of event taking mm-hmm. place in America. But what it's doing too now is getting people ready for the battle that's up the road. Preparing them, giving them strength and the stigma, what will need it to be to face George Washington's third peril.
That's exactly what's going on, what that Charlie Kirk did. He was preparing the people for what's coming up the road. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, they don't even know it, because
yes,
at the end of the day, Lord, where did we see you hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Where did we see you in need? Where did we didn't see him see? Well, what you done to these Charlie Kirk supporters, they done it to me. And what you done to just that simply, the other one, they didn't even know it either. They were
mm-hmm.
just following the trend. They were just following along. And they were doing what's right and just. That's what he told these,
yeah.
these sheep people. I was hungry and you fed me. It's not that
mm-hmm.
you saw really Jesus out there being hungry and fed him. It's just the principle of the thing. It's just the makeup, the characteristic. They can't go and follow and support something that's evil, and support these terrorists, these Hamas people. And what all Charlie Kirk was doing, he sat down with the people, had an open dialogue, and then he drew thousands and thousands of people all around the world. He put them on the right track. And that when that time will come, just 3 years from now, they'll say, Lord, where did we see you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, remember that man I had, that Charlie Kirk I had to debate with you people, and you chose you wanted to support him.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you did it to me. And now you can come into that heavenly kingdom. Now you can come into that abode. Now you can be one of those people. Blessed is he that reaches 1,335 days. God, it's all right here, right in front of our eyes, ever since the Lord gave me the revelation of that midnight cry.
Mm-hmm.
February 28, 1963. The middle of Laodicea, the middle of the last church age. And then once I saw that, whole entire, just like a giant jigsaw puzzle, just everything coming together. And then scripture after scripture just kept coming to me throughout the days
mm-hmm.
and throughout the weeks. And when I was done, and the Lord was done revealing it to me, I knew exactly 1963 was the middle of it. And I know the beginning of it, and I know that October 15, 2021 was the end of the grace age. No, Jesus was no more now on the seat of mercy. Everybody that he's interceded for, the fullness of the Gentile had come in. He interceded for that last Gentile, and now he's qualified, and exactly what he did, he went off the seat of mercy, and it just kept on flowing, that stream keeps flowing. And where did Jesus go? He went into the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who he is right now, and he's down here on planet Earth right now. He's over in Israel, exposing himself to the Jews. And there's a lot of people that are accepting. They see Jesus in the vision. They come to that family-wise, you know, God is a family person. That's why he's on out that Charlie Kirk. It's all about family, get married and have children and do the family thing. And that's how he's operating over in Israel. He comes to these families, and all of a sudden they see Jesus and a vision. He's not there, and they don't really see the person, but they feel the spirit of him because
mm-hmm.
he's down here on earth showing his ministry.
Yeah.
Where did you get these marks from? From the house of my friends.
There are a lot of young Jewish people that actually realize that Jesus is
yeah.
the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
That they that Jesus is that Messiah. There is a real movement out there that if you follow it.
You won't hear it in the news media because Satan does everything to hide from the people where we're living in time. That's why you and I, we have to, we just got such a tough road to go because it's hard to break through to people because they've been brainwashed, they've been intoxicated with the wine of that religious fornication and all these brainwashing sessions. That's all these churches are for, to brainwash the people because, like you keep saying, Satan has infiltrated every aspect of society. And the Bible backs it up too. And you can see Laodicea, where the church age of Laodicea is spewed out.
Yeah,
and the only thing they can do now is accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's it.
It's hard for people to make a transition. You can see what happened there in the early church when with the circumcision, how hard it was for them to let go of circumcision and totally fall into grace. What God has now is all by grace. Through faith are you saved by grace. And then they just was very hard to let go of the circumcision. And that's how it is here. It's a lot, it's hard for people to let go of
water baptism,
the traditions that have it evolves into traditions with people, and then it's hard for them to let go of it and then realize the time and the hour that you're living in, that these things, like just like the kingdom of heaven changed with every parable, it changed. That's how it is still going on. The kingdom of heaven is still changing. We're changing now into the millennium age for that kingdom, that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will see it as time will go on, it'll become more evident. Mm-hmm. But because we're so much in the beginning stages of it, that it's hard for people to see it. Unless you have spiritual eyes and you can see the signs of the time.
Just like I told you earlier, there came a time when those parables were, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto a man casting a net. And then it went into, then after that casting that net, it came into the parable of that scribe. That scribe went out to dig out of his sorrows. But then if you go back and you listen to it, it says, who is then that faithful and wise servant? Who's that person that's going to take it on to the next level? That faithful and wise servant, that God, that great eternal spirit, has found faithful to deliver meat and due season. And that's why you and I have such a tough road to, we're the two people that God has found out to deliver meat and due season and to hold on to the things that we have been taught. And that's exactly what we're doing. That's why we have very few people that believe it, because we're shifting gears. Mm-hmm. We're turning the corner. We're going into another dimension. We're taking people into another dimension. And all we're doing with people, who is then that faithful and wise servant, who will be found faithful to deliver meat in due season, truly, I tell you, he will set them over all his goods. And the only thing that I can find in the Bible what those goods are is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that living water, come and drink out of the waters of life. It's not something that I made up and something that I just decided one day I'll do. I had no clue what this is all about. I was just guided by his eyes. And that's all I ever asked the Lord for. When the Lord saved me, all I ever wanted from the Lord, Lord, help me find my place in Christ. Because I know we come into this world and born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We had no compass. We didn't know what our place was in Christ. And then I asked him, Lord, help me to be faithful to what you've called me to be. And I found out what he has called me to be. We are that who is then that faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has found faithful and wise to deliver meat in due season. That's what we're doing. We're telling people how to get out of this hell that's coming, just to simply accept the message for your day. And we tell them how to get clothed. We tell them you can't get into that heavenly kingdom being naked, like Laodicea is naked. And here, buy of me gold tried in the fire. You got to come under the ministry of Brother Jack, and you got to believe what we're telling you here. And then you will be dressed with that revelation of exactly what happened. Because we can go back. And we do it lots of times. We go right back when God had himself a counsel, and then he started putting the thing in this kid, this concept of origin. And the first thing he began to create angels. And you and I, it's such a simple program that God is just simply doing what he had planned out way back before the foundation of the world. And then he puts it into motion. And then he created the planet where he's going to test his angels. And to this day, all this planet here, it's a laboratory. And right now, he's testing people who is going to be found faithful to go into that age of regeneration. You can go to the Bible and read it, and don't have time to go over everything. That's why you have, there's only one message. And this website is the only message that's left for the human race before it evolves into who blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. And you're just going to have to give your life so that you can end up on that sea of glass. And there's lots of people, lots of mortals that'll go in to the millennial reign, but they will not go in as immortality. It's only the people that are going to end up on that sea of glass that's in here this time. And they're going to have to give their life to get immortality. Like, so you and I, it's so simple. You wonder why doesn't everybody see it? But I guess they just don't see it. That's all I can see. It's not given for them to see because they have really no interest. They're more interested in the things of this world, like materialism. But we're not interested in materialism. We got enough, we got a house, we got a car, we got finances. All we need is to live from day to day in a very simple setting.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for another day of life, Lord, for everything you do for us, for allowing us to see the hour and the time we're living in, Lord. For allowing us to see the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, what you've done for the Laodicea Church Hour. So we just pray, Lord, that will help us to do our part, Lord. Give us the grace, Lord, to with words, Lord, to be able to help people understand what you require of them and where we are at in time. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.